So we've been in this series, say, what does God expect? As we are growing in this body and we're growing in this region and we're able to do work overseas. Man, in the beginning of this year, God really, I'm asking God, where do we go from here? What do you, God, we're in the first inning and we are in absolute explosion mode, God. What do you expect from us? This is my cry out to God. God, as a body, what do you expect from us this year? It's amazing because the word, which is unchanging, it's the same thing that he expected how many ever thousands of years ago from his body. It's the same thing he expects today from his body. It's the same thing he's going to expect until the return of his son. First message in this series was God expects the body to love one another. Second one was God expects the body to serve one another. Third one was God expects the body to mature, to grow. So if you're one who says, I am a follower of Jesus and I know what it is to be saved and your life is the same, your spiritual condition is the same as it was when you really came to grips with who God is and what Jesus has done for you and you've repented and turned your life over to Him and your life is the same, there's an issue there, folks. God expects you to grow, mature, go deep. Last week, God expects us to know and be aware of our adversary. We have a very real enemy who hates the church, hates you, hates mankind, hates God. Everything he can to blind the eyes so that people don't come to know the truth of the light. That's Jesus Christ. Everything in his power. Great message last week. Great message in this whole series. I've been juiced about this. Many have said this is the best series you've ever heard in this church. And today, we're going to preach this. And we're going to talk about something this morning that Jesus himself talked about and the Word of God talks about more than heaven and hell combined, folks. God expects the church to be generous. God expects the church to give. Jesus spoke more on money than he did heaven and hell. Because Jesus had a very clear picture and understanding that money has authority and money has power and money can just mess with people. And money has like these strings attached to the heart and man, it can just blow people over. Jesus understood the power of money. Now please hear this. Money isn't spiritual in itself. Money is not a spiritual entity. People want to just put this spiritual emphasis on money. Now, please hear this. Because money can be used for evil. It doesn't make it spiritual. Or money can be used for eternal mindset, which then makes it used for the kingdom of God, which makes it spiritual. So money in itself isn't spiritual. It has spiritual implications. It has spiritual cause and effect. But in itself, it determines on what you choose to do with your money. And Jesus is very clear, and the Bible is very clear. The Spirit of God, as he told men to write, is very clear that you and I, who claim to be followers of Christ, imitators of him, like him. You know the word Christian, you know what it literally means? Like the Christ. Now that term is so blown out of proportion today, it's ridiculous. Anyone who's ever been to a church, ever. I went to a wedding once, I'm a Christian. No, I haven't been to church since, and it was my wedding. Perfect. You know, I mean, no, it doesn't work that way. Christian, biblically, the word Christian, it means like the Christ. So if we're going to be like the Christ, folks, Jesus gave everything. Jesus left heaven, eternal home, left absolute worship of angels to enter into his creation here, mankind, the earth, to purposefully give his life on a cross, give his life everything that he was physically, to pay a debt that we can't pay. God loved you so much that he gave his only one son. And if we're supposed to be like the Christ, imitators of God, Ephesians 5, and if people look at us and don't see us as generous, there's only two types of people, givers and takers. And if the people in our circle see us as just takers, they're always wanting, man, they're always just takers. Or do they see you as a generous person? Because if we're going to get real about this and we're going to understand what does God expect from us, he expects us to give and he expects us to be generous. Why? Because God loved you, he gave. That's the absolute perfect picture of generosity. Right from our Father and right from our King, Christ Jesus, gave his own life. And we're supposed to be Christ's followers. We're supposed to be like the Christ. So I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to challenge you this morning to truly, the Bible says, to examine ourselves. Are we ones who are generous? And please know this, folks. I'm not preaching this to get more money from you. This church is in a great place financially. That addition we put on, we paid cash for that. And I'm here to tell you, praise ye the Lord, that our bank account is now at a place it was before we paid cash for that thing. I'm not in this because we're in a hurting position financially. I'm not preaching this, oh man, tithes and offerings have taken a dip, man. We better preach on giving. Tithes and offerings are on a rise, and I'm pumped about that. I'm juiced about that, folks. So it's this. Please know the heart of your pastor. Please know this. I don't even know who gives in this church. I know what comes in every week. I know what we have in the bank. But I tell you this, I have no idea who writes the checks. I know what Renee and I write, and that's the only check that I know. I have no idea who gives and who doesn't give in this church. Because I don't want one who gives a lot to think they have favor with me. Well, doesn't he know how much I give? Nope. And I don't want those who haven't quite understood the biblical principle to think that I would ever raise my nose at them. I can't help you. You don't even give. Who are you? Folks, I would never, ever want to ever be tempted to do that. Right from the very beginning, I have no idea who gives because I don't want the flesh in me to show up. But I want you to know what God says about this. It is such a very real issue. And this isn't, oh man, he wants more money. I want you to be blessed. I want you to understand the principle of reaping and sowing. I want you to understand just from a heart of who we are in him to have this understanding of knowledge of what Jesus did for me, all that entails in my salvation, knowing that I have been redeemed, bought back, knowing that I am saved for eternity with him based on what he's done for me. And he tells me to be generous, understanding there's temporal things and there's eternal things. I want us to have an understanding that he gave. Therefore, why wouldn't our heart have a desire to be generous to his work? So more people know exactly what's taking place. So, man, let's ask God to just, man, speak to us this morning. God, I'm asking you, please. God, through your word, by your Holy Spirit, you would just deliver this message this morning. God, that we would hear from you today. God, you have the ability to speak individually right to our hearts as an individual and as a church as a whole at the same time. God, you can deliver this message by your Spirit to every single person that's here, that they would gain knowledge of you and they'd gain an understanding, a truth of your word and what you expect from us as your body. Father, please give us an ear to hear from you today. God, give us an eye to see what we need to see. God, let our hearts just be a sponge to be hungry for your word, longing for truth. Folks, I do again ask that you would, every week we ask, God, speak to me. Please ask God to speak to you this morning. God, show me. Show me your thoughts on generosity. God, show me what you expect me to do in giving and being generous. Help me to see truth, God. Reaffirm it again. God, I know it, but reaffirm it in me. God, maybe I've never seen it before. Speak to my life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I love you. Come on, two places, please. 2 Corinthians 9 and Matthew 6. 2 Corinthians 9, Matthew 6. Come on again, what does God expect? We want to see this. There's so many different places in the scriptures. We only have a few minutes here to really hit this thing. So 2 Corinthians 9, let me just start right off with this baby. This is good news here, folks. I want you to see this, that this is good news. Come on. Chapter 9, verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Okay, that part's not the good news. If you are not giving in, you're not going to get back. That's just the way it works. Now look at this. But he who sows bountifully, that's in excess, reaps bountifully. If you are sowing bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. And please don't misunderstand this. The faith movement have taken this and shredded this and destroyed this and made this thing something so ungodly that you can, you know, blab it and grab it, speak it and get it. That's a bunch of horse manure, folks. That's garbage. Please, this isn't in it. You're not in this thing for yourself. When I hear stuff like that, that is so self-motivated. You know what the root of sin is? Guess what? Self. So we're not in this thing to give, to get for myself. I'm not in it. Well, if I sow, man, these people on TV, if you just sow this much money, you are, what? So my whole intent on giving is selfish so I can get something back. God, listen, God knows the intent and motive of every man's heart. Bible is true. When you give, yes, God is going to bless you. God is going to take care of you. That's an absolute truth, folks. But he knows the intent and the motive of your heart. If you got duped into some silly thing on TV. Anyways, come on. Let's. Oh, yeah, yeah. Come on, look at this. Look at the good news here. But also reap, if you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. Verse 7. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart. This is crucial, man. This is huge. As is purposed in his heart. You know what this means? Purpose. You know what purpose means? On purpose. Intentional. Predetermined. I am made a predetermined decision that I am going to give. How am I going to give? Cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Please see this, folks. This is incredible. Right here, you've got to see this. Each one must do as purposed, as predetermined, as intentional, on purpose in his heart, not grudgingly, under compassion, not because I have to. Why? For God loves a cheerful. This word cheerful, it means hilarious giver. Wouldn't it be amazing that your giving came to a place that people from the world will look at it and just laugh? That's hilarious. You gave what? God loves an hilarious, cheerful. God, you don't understand that there is great joy in giving? You understand that this is something God says should be predetermined, something that is intentional, something that is looked for, something that we are truly looking how to give, looking ways to be generous? When Renee and I got married, man, please, college kids, hear this. Young adults, hear this. If you have been married for some time and your finances are in a set place, then this might be a little more difficult for you. But, man, you can rearrange all things. But if you're in college and you're in high school, please hear this, that you can start off in such an amazing way that when you start working and you get that job, even now, I mean, listen, my kids work, they understand. They've already set it up to give. They already take out when they work. They know what they're taking out to be able to give to the church. And you know, 15 and 13, man, they know this already. Now, you're in college and you're in high school, you're a teenager, that you would on purpose predetermine your giving. Renee and I got married. We made a decision before we ever even, you know, before we got married. We talked about finances before we got married. For when we got married, we knew, okay, we will always, always be giving tithes and offerings. Folks, we give over 10%. And you can get into the whole tithes and offerings discussion and all that. But I'm just telling you this, that we made a decision that we are going to budget this. We are never going to have a month or ever a paycheck that we've run out of money and then God gets the leftovers. I believe in the first fruits principle that is all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament that God gets the first and the best. How could we not understand that with all God that gave? The Bible calls Jesus first fruits, that God gave his first and God gave his best. And God expects you and I to come to a place to give our first and our best so that we have never, ever had a paycheck. In over 20 years of marriage, the guy got what was left because it was from the very beginning on purpose and intentional. We budget that, man. That is before a house payment. That is before the car payment. It is budgeted in. Therefore, this much I get paid. This much I know is what's going to be, you know, registered at the church. That doesn't mean that's generous outside the church. That's not counting what we give to people and individuals. That has nothing to do with registered in the church. I'm talking about that which is registered in the church. We know that that's been budgeted. That is on purpose and intentional, and we are never going to outlive that our giving is going to suffer. So why do you think it was that when I left the job that I loved in police work, which was incredible pay, incredible benefits, incredible retirement, do you know this? I went to part-time. I've been a police officer now for 21 years. Do you realize I could have retired a year ago from the police force? I could have retired and done a year ago, but God called me out of that about 6 years short of that. I had people say, dude, you're nuts. Can't you just hang on? Can't you just? No. Why was, Renee, who I am her provider and protector, why is it that she had such a peace to know God will provide for us, Sean? Because he's faithful. And we put our giving as a priority, folks. 2 points of this message is priority and purpose. And we see here it should be a priority of who we are. It should be so intentional and so on purpose that it is first and it is the priority. We try to do this. I can't tell you, it's every week, but I believe in first. We get paid this week. We already got paid on Friday. It is the first check that I write before any bills. First check, giving to God. And we are, praise the Lord, we're fortunate to be at all three services. Kind of have to, right? And we like to give in a Saturday night offering because it's the first offering of the church. It's just a priority for us, folks. Now look at this. I want you to see this. I just want you to know where your pastor is. I just want you to know where your pastor is. Now look at this. Verse 8. For God is able to make all grace abound to you. This is priority and purpose, folks. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything. Always having all sufficiency. I mean, those are powerhouse words. Always having all. Sufficiency in what? Everything. Wow. Always having all sufficiency in everything you may have in abundance. Highlight these words. Always, all, everything, abundance. Those are powerhouse top words, folks. Always having all sufficiency in everything you may have in abundance. What is the purpose for every good deed? Good deed is good works to advance His kingdom. Folks, we are in such a place in this church in less than 5 years. 10% of this, of all the givings, 10% goes overseas. I believe in our giving as a church. I believe, and that's just overseas. That's not the giving to families. That's not the giving to the hurting, to the poor. That's not the giving to all different other ministries. That is 10% of everything comes in, goes to the work overseas. That is on different soil, building churches, paying. You know how many pastors we pay for? You know how many churches we have built? You know how many ministries we just continue to pour into that continue to grow? And now in an absolute explosion mode because we have hooked up with Heritage of Flame, which is a 20-plus year ministry that is on the ground running, doing an amazing, incredible work overseas. What a privilege it is to join right into them and truly be able to send so much finances overseas to support the work for one purpose, to advance the kingdom. Why do you think we are able to do so much here, folks? You got to see something, man. Believer's Chapel is the first inning. We barely started the game here, folks. As long as the Lord will tarry and Jesus doesn't return, we are full court press, man. We are full steam ahead to what? Advance His kingdom. To see as many people as possible. Souls won, out of darkness, into light. Families, not the same. Marriages, just in a place of love, joy, and peace. Marriages at a place of rest where college students and young adults and teenagers come to a place to, man, we, please hear this, folks. You know how much we value the college students? We have the ability to speak into the lives of this generation that has the ability to go around the world and live for Christ in such a way that they're the ones that have the ability to change their generation. We spend, please hear this, this is shocking. Churches and pastors are blown away by what we do for our college because we love them, honor them, value them, and know that they're the generation that's going to reach the generation. We spend between $400 to $500 a week. That's almost $2,000 a month. That's about $24,000 a year to give them gas so they can come to church. Because they drive 45 minutes to be here with us. Folks, that's almost a salary. Do you know how many parents I've had call me or write me amazed that they have released their children into the world to go to college. And their son or their daughter is calling them. I can't wait. I can't come home because I got to go to church. What? Who are you? I mean, right? I mean. And they call in tears. They send checks to help pay. Folks, it's amazing. the advancement of this generation. It's worth every cent. It's incredible. It's incredible. Come on. I want you to see this, man. We got to fly. Verse 11. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality. That means generously or with abundance and sincerity. This is huge. Not self-seeking, folks. Remove self from the equation. That you will be enriched in everything for all liberality. For your generous, abundant, not self-seeking giving. That's what that's talking about. Which through us is producing. Look at what abundant, selfless giving produces. Thanksgiving to God. Now, please hear, this is huge. You got to see this. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service. Well, what is the ministry? I have gone over this and over this and over. When you read scripture, ask question. Well, what is the ministry of this service? You know what the service is? Giving, generosity, giving in abundance, giving generously, giving sincerity, giving not in a self-seeking mode. Now get this. For the ministry of the service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many, that's people, thanksgivings to God. That we are allowed to see so many. Even this morning in our time of worship and praise. Gang, that was powerful. That was amazing. We're able to do that because we have a place to gather and all because we understand what it is to play skillfully. The Bible says in Psalms that we want our instruments to sound well, to sound right. We want some of the greatest. Brennan is just sick, man. He's unbelievable in his voice and unbelievable in what he can do with his voice and with his guitar and with the instruments. And why? Because we believe that, folks. We believe that we are to invest in instruments and invest in him and invest on what takes place in worship skillfully. To bring people into a place like this morning to give great thanks and to give praise and watch God do a great work in the midst of his people. Now look at this. Now this is huge. Please don't miss this. Verse 13, because of the proof given by this ministry, we will glorify God for your obedience. Given by, what's this ministry? Giving, generous, abundance. Please see this. Proof of giving will glorify God for your obedience to your confession. Proof of giving is walking in obedience, what, to the confession of our gospel of Christ. See, when people look at you and they know that you're a follower of Christ and you've made some confession of Jesus in your world, do they see somebody who's a giver or a taker? Do they see somebody who's generous? Do they see somebody who's self-seeking, who's not self-seeking? Because here you got to understand the Corinthian church here. The church of Corinth was it was kind of an immoral, corrupt church. And Paul had to come in and do some amazing correction. But he says this, do you know what people do see? Do you know what people do see? There were people who were judging the church. There's no way they're of the gospel of Christ. There's no way that they could be believers. There's no way that they're following the same Christ as we have come to know. That's what the outsiders were saying. And here Paul writes this, you know what the proof is to them? Your generosity. What? Folks, that's huge. That's huge. Come on, Matthew 6. We've got to get through this. Come on, why are you people holding me up? Come on, Matthew 6. Incredible. Hallelujah. Look at this. Matthew 6. These are powerhouse verses, folks. This is great news. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And you've got to come to a place, again, my finances, what God has allowed me is a priority and purpose. What is the priority of my finances? What is the purpose of my finances? Now look at this. You've got to look at this in a mindset of eternal versus temporal. Things, we all have temporary things, clothes, cars, homes, food, I mean, whatever. Everything that we have that's not eternal is temporal. Now, there will be someone who say, well, all temporary things are bad. Or if you bought a new car, Christians shouldn't have a brand new car. Oh, go suck on a lemon. I mean, I don't know what to tell you because that's just not biblically accurate. The Bible says the one who loves money, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. If you read 1 Timothy 6, we don't have time to bust into that. If you read all of 1 Timothy 6, it says that he gave us things to enjoy. Folks, when we keep him and our giving a priority and intentionally on purpose and purposeful for his intent, listen, when God has it, listen, people get this crazy thought that, well, if you make a lot of money, you're going to fall in temptation because the Bible says the rich fall in temptation. No, when you are loving money and the Bible says those who are conceited and rich, Those who have understood money as their stronghold and not God. That's those, the ones the Bible says that fall. Do you realize that Adam and Eve were loaded? Think about it. The very first two people on the earth had everything in abundance that was perfect. I consider that loaded. David, loaded. Man after God's own heart. Rich. Solomon, rich. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, loaded, folks. Please see this. When you understand the very one who took Jesus off the cross was the rich man named Joseph from Arimathea. This was rich, loaded, folks. Nothing wrong with having money. As long as you don't raise your nose up and think you're better than somebody else. As long as your finances is not your security. Man, please go into 1 Timothy 6. Read that. Because our security and our trust is only in God. Now come on. Temporary or eternal. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves. Isn't that amazing? Who's it for, folks? Store up for yourselves. So you got to look at this picture of life as a breath. And man, we live in this world. How many breaths do you think you took during service today? How many breaths do you think you're going to take in an hour, in a week, in a month? How many breaths do you take in 1 year? Say you live to be 80. How many breaths do you take in your life of 80? Millions and millions and billions and without count. You know what God says? In the speck of eternity forever, your life is one breath. What? And you realize Jesus is speaking this in Matthew 6. He is tying our generosity, our giving, to have an impact and effect for eternity. We look at the temporary things, and in Bible times, man, that is, Bible word, that's a breath. But when you invest into His kingdom, and you invest in the lives of people, people have been the purpose of this church from the very beginning, and that will never change, folks. Why? Because we see people as the purpose of God. When you invest in people, and our intent and our purpose is to bring people to a truth of God's word, a truth that Jesus loves them and died for them, that there's a very real hell and there's a very real heaven. There's a very real Satan who destroys and hates, and there's a very real God who loves and has paid the way for our salvation. We want people in this church to build strong relationships. We want people in this church to build strong marriages. We want people who are of a younger age to start marriage and do marriage right from the start. We want people who are in marriage to have a marriage that is full of love, joy, and peace. Why? Because the Bible says that your marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. Isn't it amazing that one of the brightest lights that you can have today, in this day, is have a solid, incredible God marriage where the world looks in and says, what? I don't understand that picture. Yeah, well, it's like Christ in the church, let me tell you. Because that's the purpose of the church, and that, all of that, is eternal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. Verse 21, this is huge. For where your treasure is, folks, this is the test. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says this. And this is written right on top of my checkbook. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So I stop and I've asked myself a question years ago. God, am I honoring you with my wealth? God, are you the priority and the purpose of my finances? Because Jesus made it very clear. Jesus understood, man, there are strings attached to your money. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Folks, that is a mirror. Where you give your finances, your priorities and your purposes of your finances truly is that. This is a powerful statement from Christ. Is a mirror of your relationship with Him. That's powerful. You know what's amazing is here my grandmother who's gone to be with the Lord, my Nana, my mom's mom, Just an incredible, incredible spiritual, spiritual woman. My Nana, there's articles written in the New York Times about her. There's books written about her. For you see, in the 20s, she's 9 years old, and she started preaching when she was a 9-year-old girl in the 20s. Figure that out. When she was 13, I mean, the word that she would speak became so God-anointed and God-blessed. At 13, they put her on a train from Pittsburgh to Seattle to preach to conventions. At 13, my Olivia is 13. Could you imagine me putting her on her train to go to Seattle? My brother lives in Seattle. I think it's the only good thing in Seattle, folks. It's a crazy world in Seattle. Very ungodly liberal people in Seattle. That's just well known. And here in the 20s, she's 13, and they put her on a train to do conventions and preach this. So we're talking about an amazing, amazing spiritual woman who raised my mom. And then my dad, Leonard John Obergefell, shows up. Sees my mom, takes my mom out on a date. Things went well because he got a second date with my mom. And my Nana, a spiritual woman, asked him this question. This is an amazing question for the second date. Gang, I think of who's taking my daughter out already, and it's not going to be for another 25 years probably. She's 13. But I'm just saying, I'm already thinking, how am I going to jack this guy up? How am I going to really? I got a lot of questions I want to ask, and this one wasn't on my mind. He walks in, and she asks him, second date, Leonard, do you tithe? Now, here he just recently got saved. And yeah, sure I tithe. Honey, what's a tithe, right? I mean, he's like, but the truth is this. My Nana knew. See, if this is a man who's going to fall in love with my daughter, I want to know where his priority is, and I want to know where his purpose is. And you know what I look at? And if he gives. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And if my daughter is going to get involved with a man, I want to make sure that the strings attached to his heart and his finances and the reflection that that reveals is that he knows that he loves God, and he proves that by his generous giving. What an incredible question, folks, for one who shows up to take out your daughter. Do you give to the church? What? I mean, come on, you're like, huh? But honestly, it truly, I mean, she asked that purposefully because that would reveal everything that she needed to know. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Folks, do you know what it is to be generous? Do you know what it is to have it as a priority, folks? And purposefully. Let me just close by this. We have a very generous church. So I don't preach this to get anything from you. I preach this because I want you to be blessed, and I want you to have a very clear understanding of where your finances go, there your heart is. Man, that is the absolute mirror litmus test of where you're at spiritually. And do you honor God from your wealth? Has that become a priority? And please hear this. We are in a very good position financially. And that means everything to me, because you know what that shows me? That you trust the board of this church. You trust me as your pastor. And you trust the direction that this church is going. That's what it shows me, that you trust us. And you are supporting us going out to this region. You are supporting us going overseas. You are supporting us in the lives that are being changed. You're supporting us that we are doing everything we can to bring light to this region. And man, that's huge. That's huge. Thank you so much for your proof of trusting this ministry and trusting me as your leader and trusting the board who oversees, trusting the team who just continues to be creative and come up with ideas on how we can do more with great excellence, with a spirit of excellence, do it right, that more people would hear truth and more people would fall in love with church again and more people can't wait to come to the house of God. More people can't wait to understand what worship and praise is and just how great God is, and that you would come to a place to understand how great God has given with his son and how much Christ has given in his life, why wouldn't we want to be like the Christ and be generous in who we are as Christians? Father, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this word, great word. God, I thank you for open hearts. I just believe it was very well received. I thank you for that, God. Father, I thank you that we walk out of this place with a new understanding. God, we walk out of this place challenged and changed. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that it truly is instruction for us and how to honor and glorify you. Father, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we want to bring glory to you, God. Everything, including our finances, to bring glory to you. That we would be known as a generous people and that we would be known as a generous church. Father, thank you. We love you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.